is a question for you. Is marriage overrated?
Why aren't people getting married anymore?
A new Pew Research poll found that 2 in 5 young adults think marriage is an outdated tradition.
Marriage rates are at their lowest right now.
Is marriage really even worth it?
More than half of marriages end in divorce.
If you get married, you have to be stuck with this person for the rest of your life, right? That's why you get married. So that's why it's declining. Why would you get married if you don't, if you want to have just one partner when you can have multiple?
Marriage is stupid.
Welcome to the Married AF Podcast, the self-proclaimed greatest marriage relationship podcast on the planet. Self-proclaimed. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. We are your hosts, Matthew and Monica Powers, and we are here for another new episode of the podcast. You are back from Juarez, Mexico.
Fresh off that plane.
Yes, like this time yesterday, you were still in the air. But here we are back recording again. Amazing trip, but we're so happy that you're back.
And that's why I sound like this.
Yes, from the change in temperature, change in atmosphere, all
being
the
in
dust.
The desert.
You know, it's just one of those things.
It's totally worth it. Kind
of happens, but it's been a great week. You guys had a blast. You did a lot of amazing things.
Yes.
But you're back and ready to recover.
Yes, 217 children.
That's amazing.
How many kids we gave Christmas to.
Yes, that would have had none of it. Not just not only Christmas, but, you know, unlikely they'll have food, water, anything whatsoever if we're not for you guys. So we're so happy that you're back. We're happy everyone is back and listening. This week was like a record number of downloads on the podcast. I don't know what's going on, but we want to thank everyone who is listening. Woo-hoo. And liking and subscribing and commenting and the posts and just all of the different things and ways to interact. It's been awesome. So hopefully we'll be able to provide something else for you today. But I'm kind of excited about it. I think it's going to be fun because we're discussing fun.
Fun.
Have fun in your marriage. That's the end of the episode. See you later. It's that easy. We should have fun.
We have fun.
We have a ton of fun. We laugh a lot. We joke around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's needed in a marriage.
Absolutely.
Because I believe that people, they don't do it anymore. They're not having fun. They're not enjoying themselves. They're not enjoying their spouse. I think they're way too serious. They take things way too seriously. And they're just not laughing.
Why?
I don't know what the reason is, but we're here to try and change that and let you know how fun it is to laugh and joke around and have fun with your spouse and the impact that it can have.
Do you think it's just their spouse or is it across the board?
I think overall across the board, people are more anxious and upset and frustrated and more, I guess, worried about what the world says and what the world thinks about them. That at the end of the day, people are taking themselves entirely too seriously.
I feel like this time of year, it might get worse. We're in December.
Yes.
The holidays are around. They just had to spend a week or a day. That might have seemed like a week on Thanksgiving with their family.
And that's a lot. Because a lot of times when you get around family, and I know it's not true for all people, but for a lot of people, you get the same, well, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? How's the job? How's the family? How's the wife? How's the kids? Well, why aren't you doing this yet? Why haven't y'all done this yet? Why, you know, especially those who aren't married and maybe they're thinking, why haven't you gotten married yet? You haven't found yourself a husband yet? Or, hey, when are you going to give us some grandkids around here?
God.
When are you going to have children? And when are you going to do this? And I think there's a lot of pressure that's put on people to progress in a certain depth of their relationship or depth of their lives that maybe they're just not prepared for yet, or maybe they're a little scared of it.
Maybe so. We got the why don't I have grandkids yet.
Yeah, we've heard that. No,
I mean, from my parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't having kids.
No, we weren't having kids, and now we got two. But you can't anymore. It's done.
Yeah,
baby. We talked about that. Go back and listen to that episode. But at the end of the day, I think we're taking ourselves way too seriously. Like, we can't make fun of ourselves.
No.
At all. And we have to be, you know, all tidy and buttoned up and perfect, and we can't make a mistake or be goofy at all, or
when people are watching.
Oh yeah, but when we're by ourselves, we're probably very much like that. But when other people are watching, for sure, it's something that we don't want to let the world know.
Right.
We don't want the world to see our
best. Well, when the world knows something, maybe that you don't like about yourself, they will run with it just to make you feel bad, or they will go back to, you know, 1998 when you said something stupid
So what
and you
was
were
it?
Completely.
What was it you said? 1998. Then I'm just joking.
I'm joking. But going with the year here.
They will. They'll find and they'll just press and push and push.
Especially if you were in a maybe a political life or in the mainstream where people you are like a leadership role. Maybe?
Well, if you're in the spotlight, the
influencer.
At all. If you're in a spotlight at all, or there's any focus put on you, then yeah, I can see where
especially
people
if people don't like you, they're going to go back and try to dig up the worst possible thing you could have ever done in your life.
Yeah, you laughed at that joke.
Yeah.
You watched that movie and thought it was funny.
Well, why doesn't anybody go back and say, Kim Kardashian, you're famous because you sold a sex tape.
That's exactly why she's famous. And her dad was famous, but that
stepdad.
She became who she was because of a sex tape. I have no idea. I don't know anything about the Kardashians. Other than that, if you marry into that, watch out because it messes you up.
Look, Kanye was already messed up and he's even worse now.
He's
way
worse. Look at poor Bruce Jenner. I know we're going to get hate for this and everything, but I mean.
Don't care.
Bruce Jenner was. You
want to get real hate?
Oh, boy.
I'm not a Swiftie.
Oh, no. The podcast is.
There's your real
ended.
Mr. Powers. Everybody. Oh, my God. You're not a Swiftie. I don't care.
No. No, I don't. I don't either. Good for her. I'm happy on all the success and everything. Here, and side note, this isn't at all what we're going to talk about, but a little side note on Taylor Swift. Here's the thing about Taylor Swift, and she's probably lovely. I think she does a lot of real good things. People are beyond obsessed with her.
That's a problem.
Exactly. Because they will spend thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on flights, hotel, travel, tickets, the clothes, the outfits, the merch, the this and that, to go see Taylor Swift in concert. And that's like the number one thing in their life.
Yep.
And everything is involved with her. And they're just consumed with her and what's happening with her rather than themselves and the things that they're doing. And I would almost be led to believe if there's a large percentage of those people that had the opportunity to go see Taylor Swift or Jesus, they're going to go Taylor Swift.
Absolutely.
And that's a problem.
That's a big problem.
That's another.
That's us here in our worldly view, putting someone else as our idol.
That's exactly what it is.
She is a god to people.
And again,
it's
no
not
fault
her fault.
Of her own.
No.
She puts out hit
good for
after
her
hit after
for doing
hit.
All the things, but it's those people who have their priorities mixed up.
Yes. And the idol, and you know, when you read the Bible, and Leviticus is the most difficult book to get through. No one, anyone in the 1 year Bible plan, when they get to Leviticus, that's where the 1 year in the Bible ends. But Leviticus actually even says, hey, no idols. No idols. Talks about idols. And I mean, it can work with Taylor Swift. It can work with college football.
Anything. Yeah.
You want to get rid of that obsession where you have this love, hate, and it just rips your soul apart. There's the idols that are setting in.
Right. Well, look at we're in Alabama. And if you're an Alabama fan, most people say it as a joke, but honestly, it's true. It's God, Nick Saban, everything else.
Pretty much. And those two are very, very close.
Yeah.
And I've
just
heard
like
it
here.
By the way, I've just said we're way off topic, but that's okay. when it comes to Nick Saban, he was totally wasted on football.
He should have been president.
Oh, my gosh.
Can we write him in, Saban for president?
I don't think he'd want that job at all. But the things he accomplishes and the way that he looks at things, the way that he does things, he would be a far better candidate than anyone else that's out there. And we're not getting political one way or another.
No.
But the last couple elections and even this one that's coming up, you just kind of look at them all and you're like, these are the best we could come up
with.
This
is what the best America has to offer.
This is
no wonder our country considers us, everyone else in the world consider our country a joke.
I mean, and looking at what's coming up in the 2024 election, it's probably going to be Joe Biden and Donald Trump again. And you got to look at it and you just got to be like, these are the best two we got. This is it.
In the past 8 years, this is the best thing we could
These
come
are
up with.
The best two we've come up with.
We're trying to send people to the moon on commercial jets. And these two guys are the best we can do.
So you got to laugh at all that stuff because people take that stuff
yes.
too seriously, too.
Yes.
So.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, I'd write in Nick Saban because what he's
Absolutely.
Able to do and the way he evaluates people and tries to empower people and the discipline that it requires, he was wasted on football. I'm thankful for it as an Alabama graduate and everything. Thankful for it. It's been an amazing run, but he was wasted on football. He should have been president for forever.
Completely agree.
So back to fun.
Fun.
Because politics are going to drive everyone
Let's
out
have
of here.
Fun.
We're like 10 minutes into this thing and they're thinking, oh my gosh, we've hit the Kardashians. We've hit Taylor Swift. We've hit football.
I've hit all the clickbait.
We've hit politics. We've hit it all. So let's talk about fun, because at the end of the day, it revolves back to us taking ourselves way too seriously.
And obviously, I don't.
No, we don't, because we like to have fun.
But, you know, thinking about this, because I don't know what you have on the schedule, because you were like, where are your notes? I'm like, what notes?
Yeah, I sent them to you. Notes.
Oh, okay, sure. Sorry. The fun part, because I feel like I don't necessarily take myself too serious and I have fun in absolutely everything that I do, I'm not looked at as someone who would be able to lead.
Oh yeah.
I feel like I've been looked over on so many things, but obviously that's not where God wanted me to be.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason for all that. There's absolutely a reason for all
but that. Maybe that's a reason why people don't, or they do take themselves so seriously, because they want other people to think that they're good for this or good for that. Like they put on a different show for.
Yeah. Well, we've talked to, you know, you have this version of you and that version of you. And then there's at home and there's wife version. And then there's, you know, at work version and at church version and out the grocery store version. And there's all these different versions of ourselves. And you're just authentic to who you are. And yes, you like to laugh. You like to have fun, because why in the world would we want to walk around life so just, I don't know, frustrated at everything and just looking down on everything and just being, being like
Eeyore.
Eeyore, that's who it is. Eeyore from the Winnie the Pooh. Where we're just so down and out about everything possible, and it just can ruin it. And if you bring that into your relationship and into your marriage, where you're so serious all the time, it's going to be more like a job and more like a workplace relationship than an actual true relationship.
I don't know. Some people really like their work relationships, because that turns into other things.
It does, but it doesn't truly bring out.
Because when they come home, they're like, Eeyore. Oh, bother.
Well, and that's, you know, talk about the that relationship is the work relationships that turn into more than they actually should. It probably stems a lot from the at-home relationship and just not laughing with each other. Having that serious, and it dramatically affects, you know, how close you are and the intimacy that you have with your spouse.
Unless you're Jim and Pam.
That's true. Jim and Pam worked
it
out well.
They had fun.
They had a lot of fun.
At work. They had fun outside of work.
And it worked well.
So they got that both the at home and the work.
Man, only if life could be a little bit more like The Office. So let me ask you this question, because I don't see where it'd be beneficial. But when it comes to the intimate and the sexual relationship of it all, to me, a constant serious person ain't sexy. all the time. Now, yes, there can be times where, man, they're serious and it's intense and it's like, oh yeah, okay, I see. But when it's always that way, you can't joke around and laugh. I mean, come on. There's like, what you got?
You sparked a thought that happened on vacation when we were in Florida, to our timeshare.
I know where you're going with this.
We have a timeshare, and our timeshare is great. We love our timeshare, but this time they were trying to sell us.
I don't really know what they were trying to sell. And that's real quick before, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean, that's kind of the point of the timeshare. And you know, ours, we get to use it multiple times out of the year, whenever we want. It's
blackout.
It's incredible.
It's the best.
But they always, you know, you have to go do the thing, and it's like just part of it. It's like, all right, I'll take an hour, I'll have breakfast,
it's
and let them
free
try
food.
And
yeah.
Sell me on it. And they're just trying to get you to pay more money to get more. But this particular time went a little further. So go ahead and explain.
We can be happier with our timeshare. They made me a little mad when I lost a couple weeks because I, you know, ran out of the bank. But they were trying to get us to do something. And if we did this and extended because of COVID, blah, blah, blah. And no matter how many times we kept saying, no, we don't want to extend. We don't want to go into debt any further with a timeshare. We're just not going to do it. So the guy says, okay, well, let me go get my boss.
Oh, boy.
She's going to, I guess, like talk us through it, and then we have to sign something. She was literally doing everything she could to make us want to extend it or something. But when you were, tell me how much that's going to cost me. Well, it's not going to cost you anything, but blah, blah, blah. It's still going to cost me because you're adding that onto the back end and the interest in this and this. And you were just pointing out all of the things that she was not going to tell us. And all I could do was just sit there and go, that's my man.
See, those are the times where it like actually works out and everything. And boy, she was so mad. She wouldn't even tell us bye.
She would not even look at you.
She just slammed her pin down and walked away.
I remember getting up from that table and walking in the doors and going, I grabbed your hand and held your hand. I was like, you my man. That was hot. You're like, what? You just told him like it was. You were not going to back down. And I liked every second of it.
And there are definitely times for that and when it can work. But if I were that way all the time about everything,
I'd be like, oh God, here we go. He's just going to keep saying no. I don't get to see that side of you because we don't work together.
No. So, and it's, I mean, I like to laugh and have fun and enjoy life as well. So, you know, trying to switch that on and off and being able to, you know, not always be serious where you can just kind of turn the switch off. Like, you know what? I'm going to relax. I'm going to smile. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to tell a joke. I'm going to goof around with my wife. That's so important. And actually, I did some research. Okay. Believe it or not, I did some research. I did research. The benefits of smiling and laughing and having fun. First off, when I look up biblically all of this, Psalm 126 even says, our mouths are filled with laughter and our tongues with songs of joy. Filled with laughter. You know, God's got a lot. God's got a sense of humor.
I think so. Have you seen some people?
Have you seen
some? If we're made in his image, dear God.
Exactly. Just go hang out at Walmart for an hour.
You'll see in the parking lot.
All that you need to see. But
that's the reason why there's a reason why they made a website, People of Walmart.
Exactly. Because you see a lot of crazy stuff. And you're like, okay.
You cannot believe
that's
it.
That's funny stuff right there. But the Mayo Clinic did a study and they short-term and long-term benefits of laughing, just laughing. It stimulates your organs, your insides, your heart, your lungs. It stimulates your organs. They've shown it relieves stress and it increases circulation throughout your body. It also helps improve your immune system simply by laughing.
That explains a lot about me.
That's why you've got the heart of a... Look, I don't know, but the heart's incredible. I don't know what has great hearts.
When I fall dead from a heart attack, people can be like, you remember when you said she had the heart of...
They were lying. That's exactly what they would think. But then also, I thought of Jim Valvano, the NC State basketball coach. ESPN did the 30 for 30 thing on him. And there's the V Foundation, which ESPN is a big part of, for cancer research. You know, he had cancer and he was a great speaker and communicator. But one thing he said on his ESPY speech just before he died and they started the V Foundation, he said, if you do these three things daily, you'll have a fulfilled life. If you think, and if you laugh, and if you cry every single day, it's like, that's a great day.
Can we skip the crying part?
Well, crying was more of, you know, to tears of joyfulness and happiness. And I have to agree. If you think and you laugh and you cry every single day, man, what a day.
Yeah.
Like, you've experienced all sorts of different emotions. You're just pure joy to be able to get through.
Yeah.
I love that. If you laugh, you think and you cry every day, it's like, man, that's one heck of a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one great day to live.
Right. Well, you know, people probably, this is more of a female thing. And these are to the hoity-toity people, the suits, I guess.
Sorry, just real quick. Whenever you said hoity-toity, all I could think about, we're not going to say it here because we have to bleep it out, but all I think about is Sweet Home, Alabama, some hoity-toity Yankee. That's all I can think about is Bobby Ray in the bar playing pool. Sorry. Anyways, go ahead. Sorry. Hoity toity. My mind's all over the place.
I love that movie. You can't watch it with me because I know every single word.
Some hoity toity Yankee.
Beep.
Exactly. Yeah. Anyways, I'm sorry for interrupting. That's just where my dumb brain went.
I was trying to think of what Phil Robertson calls all the women that are maybe a little bit more bougie than the other.
Oh, my goodness. What does he call them?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember at all. But I know exactly what you're saying. But that's what you're thinking of.
That type of woman, I guess. They're not going to smile because they've been told you smile too much, you're going to get wrinkles.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? When I'm 80 years old, my face can be filled with wrinkles because if I've had a long life of laughter and those are laugh lines and wrinkles.
Well worth it.
What am I going to do at 80? Why should I care?
Well worth it.
I'm going to tell everybody what I think about them anyways at 80.
I mean, at 80 years old, you can say whatever you want. I mean, that's the point in your life where you can say, do whatever you want. No one don't matter anymore.
Nope.
You have no feelings towards it. You're like, just going to tell like it is all the time and tell people exactly what I think all the time. Like, oh, well, they're 80. That's
you
okay.
Know what? Maybe that's why God was like, Jesus, we're going to give you to 33.
Yeah.
To really understand being an adult, you got to live to 30.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
You don't need to live 3 years past that, bro.
I mean, his ministry was only 3 years.
I know. Like, hey, it makes sense, right?
This is all it's going to take. Okay, this is it. It's not going to take anything else. Like
after 30, there's nothing for you, bro.
Like you've seen
you don't need
all.
To get married.
Like you've seen every
we've seen all
bit
these marriages,
it.
And we're just gonna go ahead and say, you know.
Yep.
Huh. 33 it is.
33 is the magic number. So just kind of get back to laughing. And I know that's difficult for some people. When I think about happiness and joy and just, you know, a jubilation for life and being over the top happy. A lot of that can come from sports, but a lot of anger can come from sports also.
Like yesterday.
I don't want to talk about it. The Red Sox didn't have a chance anyways. They had a small chance.
I had my mustard seed of faith. Okay.
I did too.
That's all it takes.
I did too. And Jesus was like,
we were constantly, oh, have you heard anything yet? Have you heard anything yet? No, I didn't hear anything.
For those who haven't heard, we're talking about Shohei Ohtani, the baller of a baseball player
who signed killed the internet on Friday,
the richest contract in baseball history, really probably in sports history other than soccer, because soccer's got unreal type money to be able to do that for international soccer. It's 10 years, $700 million to the Dodgers, who are already so good.
Why do they need him?
Already so good. But good for you, Shohei. Good for you.
Yeah,
I'm a little sad though.
Yeah, so, and the Yankees racked up too.
Yeah, they traded for Juan Soto. It's a 1 year rental.
Also got Verdugo.
Yeah, Verdugo had some of them shoes. He had some issues.
But they still got Doogie.
They got Doogie. But Juan Soto, it's a 1 year rental. Listen, he'll be a free agent after the end of the year.
It's not like the Red Sox are going to step up and do anything.
No, it's been so disappointing. They got to go get Yamamoto. And I'll be done talking about Red Sox, but they got to go get Yamamoto. I mean,
but we have a local kid that's going to be there pitching for the Red Sox. Dick we did Fitz. Get that.
It's a name. Dick Fitz.
Speaking of laughter.
It is. His name is Dick Fitz. I mean, it's Richard, but
do you think his mom calls him Dick?
I don't know.
Would you stop being a Dick? Come in here.
I mean, what a name. Did you say he's from Helena?
He's from Helena.
Yeah, that's nearby
to
us.
He played at the high school and he went to Auburn.
But I've heard great things about him. Uh-huh. I know his velocity has increased over the last year. I know that he will be in the mix for probably a spot in the bullpen this season, which always use bullpen help. Dick Fitz. That's who we got. Need Yamamoto. You need another pitcher. Need an outfield, another outfield bat. We did get the rippest guy in baseball, Tyler O'Neill. But hey, what are you going to do? So
at least we got an outfielder.
We got an outfielder and we got Dick Fitz. So moving on. See, we like to laugh. We like to have fun.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
It's the joy of laughter. So, getting back to laughter and this and that, and just one, it can create for a miserable relationship. But secondly, it kills sex. We're going to finish off with some sex. It kills the sex side of everything. So how, I mean, you're like all over the
I'm
place.
I'm like my 12-year-old boy mind just kicked in.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, you know, and when it comes to sex, and we've talked about this before, whenever it's we talk about, you know, laughter and being able to have fun and this and that, there's a lot of body insecurities that people have that won't allow them to kind of giggle and laugh and, you know, be joyful in their sexual experience with their spouse.
Yeah.
So how do we combat that, especially with the body? You know, oh, my body's not what it once was. You know, I don't look like I'm 20 years old anymore. I'm a little loose here, a little flab here. This is bigger than it used to be. How do we get past that? Because I got thoughts on that also.
Turn off the lights.
I mean, that is one way. It's probably not the right way. But yeah, I guess you could just turn out the lights. That's perfectly fine. But I think it happens in women more than it does men.
I guess so.
I think that women are probably a little more insecure about their bodies than men are. So I would say men especially.
Yeah.
We're conscious about it too. Yeah. We're self-conscious about it a little bit. But I think women, it goes a little bit further, mostly because culture has told them, hey, you need to look like this. Like, you need to have...
You got to look like Barbie.
You have a thin waist, and you need to have a nice big booty, and you need to have boobs, and your face needs to look like this, and your hair should look like this. And that's what a man's going to find desirable. That's been pounded in your heads for so long, and it's not true.
Nope.
Not true at all.
I mean, look at Sir Mix-a-Lot. He was only after a booty. So what?
Anaconda don't want none unless you got buns on. But there's a lot of truth to that. Mm-hmm. And I would say, you know, for women, man, embrace it.
Yeah.
Because your man still loves it. He still wants it. He still likes it. And men, tell her how much you enjoy what she's got to offer.
But you have to do that as a wife, too.
How?
Like for me, most guys can't stand the fact that they go bald.
You're right.
It's a... Oh my God, I'm not able to do this. I'm losing all my hair. I'm sorry, but there is nothing sexier than what I'm looking at right now with a bald head and a beard on his face. That's just me.
How you doing? And that's what you like.
That's what I like. Granted, at 19, when you were losing all of your hair.
Listen, I was holding on to that hair. That hair was holding on for dear life.
I literally...
There was nothing left up there. And I was just, you know, I was thinking it was looking okay, but...
It was receding far back. There was a big hole back here. And I just remember coming home from work one day in college. And I just looked at you and said, you got to shave your head.
Yes, you did.
You were like...
What are you talking about? I have great hair. I said, like, what hair?
It's not growing. No. It's not coming back.
Listen,
it's got to go.
Two years from then, it would have been full on George Costanza. No doubt about it. I'd have the donut around the outside. That would have been it. I have like 7 hairs up on top. It just wasn't. Yep. It wasn't for me. It wasn't a good look. And you did not care for that. And I'm glad that you said, and you really put the foot forward, like, hey, you got to shave your head.
You got
to do something.
It wasn't a, if you don't do this, I'm leaving. No, it was a, you're shaving your head.
Yeah, it was.
I'm here to help you. But most men are absolutely insecure if they're bald.
Well, and let's be honest, you know, not everyone's got a good head. Luckily, I have a decent
head.
That
is true.
Some heads
don't want a lumpy head.
Some heads are a little jacked up looking. Listen, it is what it is.
Some might be pointy, and I mean, do you really want to be a bald guy and walk around with a pointy head?
Cone heads.
I think is cone heads.
Exactly. No, you don't want that. You don't want that. But still, that is who you are. And you got to think back, your spouse fell in love with you for a reason. It wasn't the way you looked, but let's be real. Attraction matters. That's what first attracts you
to
somebody.
Listen, you didn't have that beard when we first dated.
No.
You had a little bit of a...
I had a
Fu Manchu.
I had a few hairs on my chin. That was about it.
I just remember the first thing my dad ever said to you was, boy, you got some dirt on your face.
Well, now I'm covered in mud. I mean, what are you going to do?
And I was so embarrassed because he said that, because... You were 16 years old.
I know. I couldn't grow a beard.
Grow nothing, but you were trying. It was really cute.
Had a little bit.
Oh, that boy's got some hair on his chin. But no, And you had a full head of hair.
I did. I had good hair then.
You had great hair. And we would go get highlights and all that stuff we together.
Did. I did. I had frosted tips.
You did. It looked
spiked
good.
That hair. Come on now. During shell necklace.
Your little puka shell necklaces that I would make you.
Listen, that was the
look. It was hilarious.
Some Abercrombie and Fitch, some Hollister.
Ooh,
watch
Hollister.
Out. That was the look. But what I'd say is...
You don't look like that now.
No, but physical attractiveness.
But my God.
I've aged okay.
You're fine wine, baby. It just gets better with age. That's me. Like, I'm seeing all this salt and pepper in your beard. It's a distinguished man over there.
Very distinguished.
But you wouldn't look at me with gray and black hair and go, oh, that's a distinguished woman. That's hot. Would you?
Listen, I plead the fifth.
All right. There's a reason why I still highlight my hair. I'm not gray or anything.
No,
I even
not.
Ask every time. I'm like, do I have some adult blondes yet? She's like, you're good. There is nothing up there. And she goes, and if you ever do get there, don't worry about it. We'll cover it up.
Exactly. I mean, that's the beauty of hair salons and hair dye and all that. But the attractiveness does matter. And you gotta be, I mean, that's how, why you first approach someone is you're attracted to them and you're like, okay, yeah, I want some of that. And it's important to kind of keep that going. I mean, we do grow older and we lose hair and we get gray hair and we kind of fluctuate in size.
Like when women, after they have a baby.
Yes.
Your body's just not the same.
You produced a human being
in 9 months. Okay.
It's the most miraculous, crazy thing that a human can do. You make another human in your body. Crazy.
Now, some guys just think, God, pregnant women are so sexy. And I'm like, oh, God, I feel bad for her. You know? And
the ones with 37 children.
Well, there's that. But I was miserable pregnant. And I took full advantage of pregnancy. I gained 40 pounds.
Oh, with Cashman, our first, you... Took full, you're like,
look,
I'm pregnant.
At 3 months.
I'm getting huge.
3 months pregnant. Monica, when are you due?
Mm-hmm.
6 more months. They're like, wait, what?
Exactly.
But I was always told, you will never get your body back.
No, you were.
Why will I not get my body back? Oh, because it does this and does that. And I'm like, what? You said the right words to me, though. You won't get it back. Like hell, watch this.
Bam.
I put myself in adult beauty contest, like pageants. Not only did I need, and this was, they were 6 months after I had kids.
6 months after.
6 months after I had both kids. I knew I had to be in a bathing suit.
Oh, you were fully prepared.
Full 2-piece bathing suits in front of strangers and being judged at that. I knew that was my motivation. Tell me I can't. I'm going to do it and do it better.
And
just because I lost 52 pounds.
That's exactly what you did. I mean, you went a step beyond.
It might have been a little bit more much. But yes, I did lose all my weight and more. Not that I am a champion beauty queen or anything, but...
That was just that little extra push, motivation. Yeah.
Well, like this summer, I had a hysterectomy. I thought we were only going to have like 2 punctures in my abdomen, but turns out they had to go for 4.
Yep.
And I was a little irritated because I didn't know that until I completely came back to reality and, oh God, I'm not stuck in drug land. Going, I'm in pain. Give me more. So once that kind of settled and I looked at my stomach, I said, oh God, that's ugly. Matthew's never going to look at me like that. We're never having sex with the light on again. Don't look at my stomach. To this day, even Elkie yesterday, she was doing something and she saw my stomach and she goes, oh, mommy. And she kept pulling up my shirt and she goes, your Frankenbelly's looking so good. Because
the Frankenbelly.
Because of the stitches, I said, I look like I have a Frankenstein belly. So I called it the Frankenbelly. I did that so I could laugh at it.
Exactly. Laugh at it and just kind of, you know, not make fun, but just kind of laugh at the, hey, this is what it is. And you know what? It hasn't affected anything on my end. I mean, at all. And, you know, it's all perfectly fine. And I think that's, you know, one, say it, you know, tell your spouse, you know, hey, you, that's right. But show it too.
Yes.
Like, I mean, you can't go by me without a little squeeze on the butt.
Yeah.
Period.
Like, you had to stop doing that because Cashman, like when he was five years old,
yeah,
he would started doing that. Like, you would just do a little slap.
Mm-hmm.
And then this little hand would come by and go slap.
And like, oh, that can't happen anymore. Because I
keep your hands to yourself, Powers.
Because I like it. And I want to show you, like, hey, I'm little squeeze action.
And now it's when the kids aren't looking. You're like, ooh, you.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Because I'm showing you, like, hey, I'm still all in.
But I do it. The kids never repeated me. I don't know why. I guess because guys fart more than girls.
I don't know.
They just didn't want to touch your butt. So every time I walk by you, I'm like, oh, that was a good one.
Maybe that's just because I do it a whole lot more than you would. I don't know. But
you don't, yours are not seen anymore.
No, but that's part of the fun and games of a marriage. It's like, hey, you can pop and laugh and ha ha ha. And oh, that was a good one. I don't know if people do that enough.
I don't know. Well, you can walk by me and not do it and not go,
like, what's wrong with him?
Why didn't he just touch my butt?
Exactly. But I think that kind of shows a healthy and fun marriage. Like, hey, they still have a lot of fun. So let me wrap up with this question because we do have to go.
Okay.
Kind of looking where we are now because, man, things are so great.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, everything is like firing on all cylinders all the time. It's awesome. And we're 40 years old now.
Yes.
And just kind of thinking back over the last 20 years or so. There was a point in time where you not sure about getting married. Like, no, I'm having my fun. I'm liking this, and I'm getting to do this. I'm getting
having my cake, and I'm eating it.
You're getting to do what you want to do, and you're getting attention to this and that. So I wanted to ask you, you know, if Doc Brown showed up today, and he gave you the DeLorean and said, "Hey, it's yours for the day," and you were to go back and visit 22-year-old Monica, who was having her cake and eating it too, doing whatever she wanted to do, and just living what she thought was the life. What would you tell her about, hey, this is what it's going to be, and this is how amazing it is? What would you tell her, like, hey, 22-year-old you who thinks everything is great and perfect and awesome? What would you tell 22-year-old Monica?
Yikes. Besides the fact that she's an absolute idiot, I don't know that I could go back and change anything or would want me to change anything. Just because, knowing all the things I know now, if I were to go back and tell her to do this, one, would I have even listened? Because it was my way or no way.
Right.
But would it be as great as it is right now?
See, and I feel the exact same way. Like, we put each other through hell.
Yeah.
And man, we did awful things and we were selfish and we were hateful and boy, we would go behind each other's back in a heartbeat.
But couldn't live without other.
Couldn't live without each other. And boy, those were some looking, you know, during that time, those times were miserable.
Yeah.
And we were both so unhealthy.
It was the craziest love-hate situation.
Totally. But I totally agree. If I could go back and change any of it, I wouldn't, because I don't know that it would lead us to where we are. And that may sound a little stupid and cliche, but in all honesty, I would not go back and change one thing about it because I know where we are now.
Yeah.
So the second part of that is, what in your eyes has brought our relationship from where it was then to what it is now?
Oh, that's a simple answer. God.
100%.
Not just a God. God of the universe, who sent his only son, Jesus Christ. Little baby Jesus.
Little 8 pounds, 6 ounce
baby Jesus.
Newborn infant Jesus with his golden diapers. But no, it is. Once we, because we've slowly progressed in the last, you know, the first few, you know, year or so of our marriage, we were slowly progressing towards something. But man, once we, and we knew who Jesus was, you know, we had that, but we didn't know everything like we do now. And we're not that deep, intimate relationship like now.
No.
And well, after that, boy, it just, bam, propelled everything.
Of course, in high school, you don't know all the things, but I was the big Jesus follower.
Mm-hmm.
I was voted most likely to become a pastor.
Yes, you were.
And most school spirit. But I would wear a shirt that's had Jesus on it and carry my Bible,
yep,
all the first priority stuff. And I was the Jesus freak.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody remembers that but me.
Yeah.
And when I left high school and went to college, got the attention that I never had before, that's not something I ever expected. I was ready to get married right out of high school. And you're like, no, I got to go to college. I got to get an education. I need to get a good job. And I didn't care where I worked, what I did or anything, because I just wanted to nail you down. I was like, this is the guy. I know this is the guy. But then college happened and I got just a little bit of attention. Then you want a little bit more and a little bit more. And you're just, you think you're having fun because mm-hmm. you're getting all the wrong attention. And you don't know that it's the wrong attention because you've never had this attention before. But in reality, it's not the, it was just happiness that I was chasing because I did not have joy, I knew what joy was.
And you got that happiness. And boy, oh boy, did you get it and get it and get it and get it. But just as you got it, it would go away and you need a little more, a little more, a little more to push you to edges that probably never intended to right. go trying to seek that. So, but man, it's great now.
It is.
It's fantastic. But we got to go.
Okay.
It's Where that time. Going? Basketball. Let's go, Tom.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. I have fun with you.
I always have fun with you.
I love you.
I love you more.
God, we love you. We're so thankful for what you're doing. Just pray over this podcast for all the ears that hear it, just to come closer to you, because it is you who changes everything and improves everything. If we will just submit and give it all to you, the magic that you can work within ourselves and within our relationships cannot be comprehended by us. And just the trust we have in you, it's fully there, God. Just pray that this will reach the people that it needs to reach. You are in full control of it, and we give you full control of it, and just thankful for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Play ball.